I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The Caps were on, and we talked about it. You know, we haven't been all in on the Redskins. I'm literally clueless as to what's going on. I mean, just, you know, I remember the draft, got all excited about that. But post-draft, punched out, not interested. Don't care, because caught up in Caps euphoria and everything. And I'm ready to...
I think a lot of people are.
I'm ready to get excited again about the Redskins, I guess. But...
it'll take you a good month.
But there hasn't been big news. Look, they
drafted
Jerome Payne, drafted Darius Geis. There really hasn't been that much news.
Well, I don't know, because I haven't been paying attention to
it. I heard a nugget that Stacy McGee, I believe, tore his groin. So he's out for the OTAs. That sounds pretty serious. Mm-hmm. I don't know how long he's going to be sidelined, but... I mean, that's like the one Skins nugget that I've kind of digested.
Quanjo's out for the year.
I knew Quanjo was banged up.
Yeah. Kind of big news on the Redskins front. They finally admitted, and they have adopted honesty as the best policy after all these years.
There's no way.
And they admitted that they do not have a waiting list for season tickets.
Right.
Something
and
we've been saying for basically a decade.
And they're trying to entice people to buy season tickets now with some upgrades.
Right, which is a smart move. But they haven't decided that honesty is the best policy across the board,
just in this one instance.
It's still a little North Korea over there.
I guess there's a new guy running the show, though, in terms of the suites and the tickets.
Right. No, I mean, it's the only way to go. Go out there and actually, you know, acknowledge that there are seats available. Maybe
what
you can
claim
cut a deal.
$200,000 or $300,000.
Yeah. At its peak, it was $200,000.
Yeah.
And I believe probably after the third Super Bowl win, you might have had a 200,000 person waiting list.
Maybe 50,000 or something. But, you know, when you rip out 10,000 seats and you still have empty seats, it's preposterous to claim.
And Steelers fans can pick up tickets in a split second.
Yeah. The stories are numerous of people that gave up season tickets and then they call them back a day later and try to offer them back at a discount. We had a guy that got kicked out. They pulled his tickets. And then, you know, 2 weeks later, they offer him back.
By the way, Eric and I went to University of Maryland. We're fans of the University of Maryland. Cakes has a son at University of Maryland. I couldn't believe the call that Cakes endured about a week ago. He is honestly the nicest guy with just a telemarketer, essentially. Somebody called him, and we couldn't figure out. It was right after the show, and Cakes is nodding his head.
Well, my first mistake was I accepted a call from a number that I didn't recognize. So a big chunk of it is on me. But I was on the call for about 3 or 4 minutes, and you know, the guy was nice enough, but he couldn't have been more relentless as far as asking me questions, trying to get me excited to buy tickets to Terrapins Longhorns.
So why didn't
which
you
is
just say
game.
Not interested and hang up?
That's what I did eventually.
Yeah, but why
it
not?
Took
well,
about five minutes.
It took me a little while.
Did you actually ponder it?
Did I ponder
getting tickets?
No.
So you just let the guy
just being nice.
Here's where he lost me. Where this was, it's had to be like June 8th or 9th.
Right.
And he said, well, right now is really the time to get your Maryland, Texas tickets. And I thought to myself, why would now be the time to do that? How about it would be the week before it's being played at FedEx Field? There are going to be a billion tickets on SeatGeek for $7.
How about the time to get it? It's like right before the game.
Yeah, the time to get it is, I don't know, September 4th.
Yeah.
Maybe September 5th, not in early June. When I heard that, then my brain snapped into action, and I said, sorry, man, I just can't do this.
So was this a conversation, or are you just letting him talk
and
do his pitch?
It was more one way than anything else.
I've
more
been getting,
me listening to the pitch.
I just don't answer those calls, man.
You know what,
if I don't recognize the number.
That was my mistake.
Well, here's what I do. So I've been getting a lot. By the way, I got the IRS scam call twice in the last week.
Oh,
twice.
I love it.
And it's changed now.
I will take.
It used
I will
to be
with
like, for lack of a better way of explaining it, like a foreign sounding guy saying he was calling from the IRS. Now it's a woman calling. Okay,
foreign sounding woman.
No.
Okay.
She's a regular sounding woman, but it's obviously on a tape or something. And so I get it, and she goes, "We are calling to warn you that the IRS is about to contact you. You're about to be arrested. You got a week or whatever this spiel is." I listen for about 3 seconds, and immediately I go, "You're finished." And I hit, right. I hit end, and then I hit block.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Does no good. They just call back on another number,
2 days later.
I'm not even aware of the scam. What is the ultimate pitch?
The pitch is basically that the IRS is investigating you, you owe money, and you got like a, if you don't give them money right now, you're going to be arrested.
Generally,
but I don't know the details, so then they ask you to send the money how?
I don't know, wire it or whatever they do.
Like how are they getting over? Like, where are they getting their money?
From just naive
donks
people.
Are sending them checks.
Some
people, they panic.
It's
they
not,
have no idea.
It's not a check.
They you know prey on the elderly,
It's
too.
Mostly the elderly.
It's your money.
Well, they must think I'm
it.
Elderly because they called me twice
kind of
in
are.
The last 6 days, and
pictures.
I block it. The other one that won't stop calling
me. By the way,
real
quick, before you go to the next one, my friend's mother, okay, probably in her 60s, 70s, was an IRS scam, but fell for the "we've kidnapped your grandson" scam, and we've got him
it's
in
tough.
And we've got him in like Sudan,
right?
If you don't give us $8,000,
right? It's just some people are unbelievable.
Then you will never see him again,
right?
What did she do? She wired $8,000 to this number.
That sounds like me sending Rom money back in the day when he was felted,
right?
I mean, they're just
people are relentless.
Clueless people.
So the one that I can't get rid of every time this call that I receive it. Because it's always a different number. I block it. 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 And it just, it must be on some robo-dialing program. It doesn't matter. It masks number, and then it just calls again.
Mm-hmm.
It's about my car and to get a lower interest rate. First of all, I lease my car. I have a deal with BMW. I'm interested on zero levels, and I know it's a scam.
On the scam call list?
I'm on the scam call list. I get scam calls all the time.
Probably because you live in Kensington, which has a lot of elderly people. Honestly.
Don't know.
Maybe if they're preying on elderly, Kensington's a good city to
pick.
Maybe.
That might be it. Eric,
I mean, I have a mobile phone number. They're not calling my home.
People are getting those calls all over town, man.
It's just, and I don't know how to get off it.
I get calls that want to give me warranties on my cars that I had 10 years ago.
Yes. That's basically
and
what
I told the woman, I said, "What are you selling?"
Yeah.
And she goes, "What are you selling?" I said, "You're an idiot. I haven't had that car for 10 years. Right. Why are you calling about that?"
You tell her to die after that?
I mean, I end up hanging up.
Right.
But, I mean, they're just losers.
Now, this wasn't a call, but I kept getting a piece of mail from, it seemed to be some sort of Geico splinter cell, is how I would describe it.
Right.
It's actually a WSSC splinter cell.
Okay.
Where they kept sending me this letter and asking me to pay $3 a month to ensure the pipes basically underneath my driveway.
Right.
And it said, eventually, I'm paying the $3 a month now. Because if you actually read the material, it says whatever you're insured by only insures the pipes in the house.
And I'm insured by it, too.
And then if something happens just outside the house and the pipes explode or whatever, you're the one who has to pay for it, not the county or WSSC or whatever.
It's on you.
Right? So you got suckered for that, too?
I'm in on
that,
too. Now,
that was a piece of mail that was coming every couple of weeks. It seemed legit, and now I'm paying that $3 a month or
now
so
I'm basically
to
hoping,
protect myself.
I'm hoping at some point that pipe burst, and I can feel vindicated for paying that $3 or $5 per month.
Are
so
we
I don't feel like a sucker.
You can chime in, 800-636-1067, because part of me thinks that I am an idiot for doing that because I'm telling you, I threw out that piece of mail on a monthly basis for months and months. And then after a while, I was like, I can afford, $3 a month. That's $36 a year. $36 a year just in case a pipe bursts, or I just accept it as $36 a year for being scammed.
Right. The price of doing business.
Because I have no idea what my WSSC contract covers.
How could
if a,
you?
I have no idea who's paying if a pipe bursts in my bathroom versus a pipe bursting underneath my driveway.
Now, I'm probably a donk, but anytime someone asks me for insurance on something or some sort of warranty on something, I always say no. The only thing I have is car insurance, life insurance, and I guess I probably have some home insurance or something.
Well,
but anytime, but I know
insurance.
Jason, it's worked for him, like his roof or his appliances.
Yeah,
just
I wish
constantly.
I
don't know how he got it. I don't know.
I have a terrible refrigerator.
What?
Terrible refrigerator.
What works
well,
for
like
me?
If you're washing
you
dryer.
Oh, you mean the home warranty?
You have some weird thing that's constantly hooking you.
Well, it's not a weird thing. It's a very popular thing. Home warranties are very popular across the country.
Yeah, they
might
be.
I pay $600 a year, and it covers pretty much every appliance, every working system in the house.
I should probably get that one because I'm telling you, my refrigerator is poo. Cold on the bottom, not cold up top.
But I just
and
figure,
like an ice block forms behind a couple of shelves that I have to use like an ice pick.
Just get a
once
new refrigerator for however it costs, $1,500
like
or whatever.
And I just
get a scratchy dent, put a towel over it, like Lurch.
Yeah. And you're good to go.
You're good to go.
I just basically use an ice pick about once a month to take the ice block behind a couple of shelves.
If you get a home warranty, let's say it's $500 a year, and your microwave breaks.
Yeah.
Well, warranty covers it. let's say your dishwasher breaks. Well, the warranty covers it. Let's say your AC breaks. Warranty might not cover the entire cost of one, but it'll cover to fix it, whatever needs to be fixed.
I'm sure I'm doing it wrong. By the way, I always say no to everything.
The worst thing you can do with those scammer calls is answer your phone.
Right.
Because once you answer, they keep calling back.
Well, but I know. But in theory.
And they never leave a message.
No.
In theory, you can block them. And I block them, and then they just change numbers. And it's often with the same three-digit prefix, but they change the last four numbers.
Who checks messages? By the way, here's an alert to anybody that calls me ever again. Don't leave me a voicemail. I'm the worst at checking voicemail. Yeah. I'll check the text. What? I'll respond to a text in a few hours,
well,
maybe a day later. Never leave me a voicemail.
You know how you can eliminate
ever
it?
Ever again.
Completely, and I've done it. I don't set up my voicemail. And I haven't.
That's a great strategy.
For probably 5 years.
Mine is set up, but
now
it's...
Now, it irritates the dentist's office, because they call me all the time.
Right.
And then, you know, never answers. Right. But just don't set it up.
Yeah. Never leave me a message. Anybody that calls me. Thank you.
Let's go to Tim Alexandria. Tim, what's up, man? You're all with the junks. Quickly.
Hey, good morning. Yeah, I bought that insurance line coverage through the water company, and it's like $3-4 a month, and it's legit. Because it happened to me, my main sewer line outside the house to the city sewer, it broke, and it saved me about $7,000. So that's legit.
Mm-hmm. That's what it says on the pitch, that if something happens, right? Isn't it like with your driveway? I have no idea what the company was.
Fecal matter.
It's definitely legit. It's about $3-4 a month.
Yep.
It's got to follow, you know, certain rules, but it's real.
I can afford one big blind at MGM National Harbor per month, so there's not fecal matter flowing into my house.
A big blind.
It's a big blind. One, three game.
Well, the thing you got to remember is to use it. You got to remember that you have the coverage,
right?
Because a lot of times you'll have this policy or whatever insurance, and then something will happen, and then you'll panic and you'll just call some company to come fix it.
Yeah.
But if you remember you have the coverage, then you have to go through them.
All right, phone number is 800-636-1067. Open line Thursday. We're on pace for 12 calls right now.
See, this is what happens when the Caps finally win
Maybe.
The Stanley Cup.
I'm going to win.
We have a week of afterglow, and that now we're talking about pipe insurance.
Today's the brick wall.
There's plenty to talk about.
Welcome to the rest of the summer. Thank you.
All right, coming up,
we'll talk about this later. Does anybody care about the World Cup?
I do because I enjoy the games.
You're a big soccer guy.
I'll be into it when it gets beyond the preliminary matches.
So in the round of 16.
You know how you like to have the Olympics on all the time?
Yeah.
I like having the World Cup on all the time. Yeah. Now, I'm not necessarily just sitting there staring at it, but I love having it on.
You won't root for any one country.
Oh, I will. I'm rooting for Germany to play Spain in the final because I got a bunch of donks in my World Cup pool on those two teams.
Yeah,
so
I just root for greatness. So I like to root for the sillies.
Okay. I'll root for the teams
I bet
on.
You're not rooting for like Croatia or Peru?
No, it's not even the countries. I'm rooting for great players. I want to see Ronaldo do something silly. I want to see Messi do something silly.
Yeah.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The one thing that we wanted to play, we didn't get to it yesterday, but it's pretty funny audio. A couple of us have been involved in daily fantasy for a while.
Yes.
By the way, for the record,
FanDuel.
I was the originator. I actually was. I owned like less than 1% of a daily fantasy site.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which one was that?
It was called Draft Day.
You can pat yourself on the back. I don't care.
Yeah, I am.
But I'm just pointing out FanDuel, DraftKings, Draft.com.
We were doing endorsements for FanDuel.
Yeah.
Right.
And Cakes was doing DraftKings.
DraftKings guy right here.
Then I started doing Draft.
Right.
Full disclosure, I have accounts with all three.
Oh, of course.
By the way,
and I used to have Yahoo.
So we've been doing this for 5 or 6 years.
I'm going to say it's been around a long time. I'm going to say it's been around 10 years because that's about when I was involved.
And it's actually expanded to the point where you can do golf on it.
Sure.
You could do, I don't think you do anything. College yet.
No, no. They used to have college. They got rid of that a few years ago.
Yeah. But there are various things you can do.
World Cup, all of it.
A legend in sports talk returned to WFAN, Mike Francesa, after a brief retirement.
Yeah, about 3 months.
Very brief.
And yesterday, social media was abuzz because the way they portrayed it is that he thinks he's created this thing, which is actually daily fantasy sports. Listen to
I got
to
hear this
Mike
clip.
Francesa.
I've only read about it. I haven't heard the clip yet.
And this is where, if the states are smart, they will take people who really understand this. Okay, and let them create games that would attract people. And there are games. If I created a game for you that plays into your football or basketball or baseball expertise, and you could, for a $20 or $50 in total, have the chance to win big money based on how you play it, that will be an exciting play for you, okay? That will be a very exciting play for the average guy. And I think you can create something where the payoffs are not a dollar and a dream like the lottery, where the odds are you got a better chance of getting hit by lightning, but that if you have a skill, there will be a game. I could create 10 games in 15 minutes if they gave me 15 minutes to do it. And those games, if created properly, will be very enticing to the public. And what's good about them is, the bookmakers don't have the same games. They don't have the mechanism. They don't like coupled bets. They don't like the chance of you winning a lot with a little. They frown on that. They don't want that. They want you to bet dollar for dollar. They really want you to pay 11 for 10 is what they want you to do. So they want that bet. They don't want this other bet. And this other bet is where the states, if they're imaginative, will make their money. I can create a game in 15 minutes for you. Like, let's say I create a game where you get to pick five players tonight in the major leagues, right? And if your five players, based on numeric totals, have better offensive numbers for the night than any other five players, you win $50,000. And the fee is $10 to get in. People will buy that. They'll play it like crazy. They will play it
Cakes
all
and Tom
night.
Daly will.
And you can create different ones. You can create ones that pay $10,000, that pay $5,000. Like, if you give the average guy a chance to win $5,000 for his $10, he's going to do it.
I've got an idea, Cakes.
You know what?
That's only been around for a decade.
Go back into retirement.
I've got an idea. Only been around for a decade.
I've got an idea.
What an
How
idiot.
About in the NFL?
Yeah.
You pick one quarterback
right.
on a given Sunday
yes.
and two running backs.
I kind of like it.
Two wide receivers, a tight end. We won't go into individual defense players. You just pick a defense.
All right.
And a kicker.
Good concept.
And a kicker. And whoever gets the most points based on whatever scoring system
you know
come
what?
Up with.
I think, the public would go for
and
that.
And we can come up with different games. You can do head-to-head where you play one other individual,
right.
And somebody wins.
He just sounds like
you
a complete
can have a pool of 100.
Idiot. He just sounds like an old man who has no idea. And did he say that casinos don't offer large odd bets?
Well, I think what he's thinking about is like...
what is he talking about?
He's basically talking about your average bookie.
I think he's talking,
he's talking about your average bookie that just wants to take a bet, you know, $50 to win $50.
Is it possible that he lives in such a bubble that he didn't know that daily fantasy sports has existed for...
It's impossible for someone who works in sports media to not understand that fantasy sports exists.
Now, was he responding to a call, someone asking a question?
I think it was a call. I didn't hear the prior call.
He's talking about the legalized
Did one of his
gambling.
Producers call him out on it? Did anybody call him out on this?
Did
he respond
know.
To it?
I'd say, Mike, that's called Daily Fantasy.
Right.
Been around for a decade.
Have you ever heard
decade?
Of FanDuel and DraftKings?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I mean, they do sponsors with us.
Right. All right, let's go to
that's a guy that you want in your league, by the way.
Absolutely,
oh, yeah. Francesa a first
big whale. Get him in.
Yeah, you want him in your league so bad.
I love how he said it's based on numerics.
Right.
Yeah.
metrics, wasn't it?
I thought he said numerics.
He said numerics.
Yeah. Let's go to Kevin in Culpeper. You know what? God bless him. That guy's the godfather of sports radio.
Yeah,
so,
but he's a little out of touch.
Yeah, he's lost his fastball.
Just
that's fine.
A tad.
What's up, Kevin?
He's awful. Hey, guys. Hey, a little bit ago, I heard you talking about how Harper and the idea that he's checked out. Did any of you guys watch the game last night?
I was running around.
I watched like three, four innings.
Well, in the beginning, it was one of the early innings. One of the Yankees stole second. Our catcher throws the ball, and it gets by the second baseman. I'm not 100% on my baseball acumen, but isn't the center fielder supposed to kind of run up and back that up? And he's just out there, you know, almost at the warning track watching it happen. And then once the ball gets into the outfield, oh, then he takes off and runs and go gets the ball. Mm-hmm. Now, aren't you supposed to anticipate that happening? And you, as soon as you see the catcher throw, you take off running just in case he gets by? Or is that not?
Yes, you are. But you see, look, technically a catcher is supposed to back up every throw to the first baseman.
Run all the way down the first baseline. Right. You'll see that.
Yeah,
like
I
you
mean,
used
you,
to.
Look, you take it for granted at some point because it's a routine play.
No, it's a little, no, that's not true. These players are taught to back up throws, absolutely. Now, did the runner advance?
Yes.
Yeah. So he got to third. Okay.
He ended up scoring a run.
I'll say this too. Bryce is now, I mean, he's not a center fielder. He hadn't played center field all year until
recently. I understand, but he's supposed to be a great player. I mean, he's supposed to be this, 5 years ago, he was like, Charlie Hustle, whatever. He's, end of the game.
Here's where he is. In my opinion, he's that way. He's at times. He's like that extra effort that you saw early when he first came up. You see that sporadically.
Also, think
when
they
he's
told
not
him to
hitting
dial
well,
back.
You will see him loaf a little more.
Didn't they also tell him to dial it back when he was running into walls?
Well, in terms of running into
injured.
Walls, yeah, but that doesn't mean he can't back up throws.
I get it. I don't think it's that big of a deal. Look, Dave Martinez after the game said they did need to clean up some things defensively because they haven't been great defensively. I think Trey Turner got picked off as well. So they've been kind of had
picked off first.
They've had some self-inflicted errors of late.
Listen, here's the bottom line with Bryce. He's a great player. He has the potential to be a really, really great player. But there are still definitely flaws to his game. I think there are times where you can say, he coasts a little bit. Mm-hmm. He throws the wrong base, gets picked off, base running errors. Those kinds of holes do exist in his
game. True, but
he's not the perfect player.
But he may hit 50 home runs.
Absolutely.
He may hit 250 this year, but he may hit 50 home runs. This is part of the deal. If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. Now, in terms of the future.
But hold on. But you can't give a guy a pass and say sometimes they don't expect the throw to be offline. You can't
I
say.
I understand you're coaching your daughter's softball team right now. But if you watch.
No, JP.
Game,
this
any
is
game
baseball
in Major League Baseball.
Backing up throws is baseball 101.
Okay. Do you think a catcher on every ground ball to the shortstop runs down the line to be in backup position?
Probably the majority of them do.
Okay, I'm going to try and watch that.
But that's
really
a totally different play. That's a totally different play than backing up a throw to try and nab a base stealer in center field. That's a totally different play. Having the catcher go down to first base is totally different than a center fielder backing up a throw to second. And the shortstop should be back there too.
I don't think that if you were to watch every Major League Baseball game, that you're going to see center fielder sprinting when a catcher's throwing to second base every time.
You don't have to be sprinting, but just be in position. I think the guy makes a good point.
Well, it sounds like he was in somewhat position. He was just deep in the outfield. Hmm.
Look,
if the base runner advanced, he wasn't in position.
First of all, he was in center, right? He's not a great center fielder. He shouldn't even be there.
That's true. And that gave him a pass there. But
he's
you're
not a
right.
Great right fielder.
But you're right. There are times where
he loafs a little bit.
Yeah, and that's what I meant.
That's what I meant when I said
he's checked out, or some fans have noticed that. It's just some certain plays.
But that's been his entire career.
And I think this year in particular at the plate, he's showed some of that.
I just see him sometimes when you're swinging so hard and your helmet's falling off, something's not right. That's not really happening with other guys. With the frequency that it happens with Bryce, mm-hmm. like literally swinging out of his shoes.
Well, he also may have a looser helmet. We talked about it when his helmet fell off and he was going towards second base. Got to keep that hair nice.
Well, he tips it over a lot just to be done with it. I get that. But he swings his helmet off all the time. And it's kind of embarrassing. It's like, keep your helmet on a little tight. Get a tighter
one. I wouldn't want mine on at all times.
It's kind of embarrassing.
I need to protect the brain at all times.
It's like when Tiger wails away on the tee all off balance like some 15 handicapper. It just looks embarrassing.
You mean like I'm going to do it the Purple Heart Open
believe,
in a few weeks?
I can't believe his helmet falls off as much as it does.
You wish you were 15.
Yeah. He must have the world's largest helmet. He's so,
I don't notice
so
that
concerned
with, any,
with that hair.
I don't notice that with any other player.
I know. I agree.
With the ball the helmet just falling off his head.
Well, he pushes it off when he runs. You see him do it.
A lot of times he does, yes.
But at the plate, He's just swinging wildly.
Well, just remember, the hair is very important to him. His brother caught him with two hair dryers. Never seen that before.
Well, that was a
Listen,
bit.
Listen, all that being said, if you could get him at a nice
deal.
Think
it was a bit or he got caught doing it?
No, it was a bit for like a hair product.
JP's a dog.
That he's hawking.
Okay. I didn't even know
really a bit.
Listen, he if they could get him at a fair price, I'm all about it. Who wouldn't want to have Bryce Harper here for 20-some years? But if he's going to break the bank, get $300 million, that's not going to happen here.
We need to come up with a nice saying for Soto.
Sized for Soto.
It's always.
Everything is.
Yeah. It's always.
What's wrong with that? That's an alliteration.
It's not bad.
Sized for Soto.
I think
Soto.
It's kind of hard to rhyme Soto.
You don't We're have not going to do anything with it.
Sized
this
for
is
Soto.
Where it ends.
Size one.
How many T-shirt ideas have we had, and how many T-shirts have we actually printed?
It's been years.
And we've had 100, and we've given
we
gotta
get back into the T-shirt business.
T-shirt hustle.
We gotta, everyone's selling T-shirts.
Yeah. Those horny for Zorny checks were pretty nice.
Right?
Join us right now on the Maps for Us hotline to talk some Nationals. It's Chelsea James from the Washington Post. Mm. Morning, Chelsea.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Good. Great. Well, it actually has been an interesting week for the Nationals, right?
It really has. I mean, you know, I'm actually not in New York. I'm meeting them in Toronto, and just watching from afar, you kind of get a sense of all the chaos. I think when you're there, you kind of forget that all that stuff is such a big deal and happening so fast. But it's been pretty crazy. I mean, like you mentioned, you know, from Riz kind of going off to Murphy returning, and we didn't even really get much time to process Adam Eaton returning. So it's been a pretty crazy couple weeks, and I think probably a little bit of a transition time for them. We'll have to see how they kind of come out of it all.
You know, let's talk about Bryce for a second because, you know, the power numbers are there. He's producing in that sense. But, you know, when you're hitting 228, the critics do jump in, especially when you're up for a contract. And we had a guy call in last night. I didn't see the play. I was out running around. But apparently he was complaining that he didn't back up second on a play. I'm sure you're familiar with it. And then we talked about, look, we all know there are some aspects to Bryce's game. You know, base running errors, it throws the wrong base. Sometimes you could see, you know, he's not hustling the way he maybe did when he was 19 and he first came up. I think that happens when he gets frustrated. Overall, though, are the Nats happy with that sort of thing? They know that's who Bryce is, or do they want to see a little more? Some people are accusing him of sort of like, I don't know, you want to say, quitting on him or just kind of going through the motions
checking
a little
out,
bit.
Checking
yeah,
out.
Yeah. You think that's fair or what?
You know, it's really tough to say with him. I don't think the Nats are at a point anymore where they're happy or unhappy with Bryce. I think they're at a point where they know who he is and they want to make him happy and comfortable and, you know, kind of see what happens in the off season. So for me, I don't think there's sort of any inner turmoil caused by whatever Bryce does anymore. Mm-hmm. It is interesting. And he's a very competitive guy with a lot of intensity. He's playing for a lot of money. And he just doesn't look happy to be there. And I think, I don't know what to read into that. Is that, you know, that he's going through the motions? Is that, you know, the pressure's on? I don't know. He's a really hard guy to read, but the defense is noticeable. I mean, I've had people sort of outside, you know, the day-to-day Washington Nationals crew say, whoa, what's up there? And, you know, there's something off, but he might be in full-out self-preservation mode. And I'm not, you know, I don't know, not sure what I make of that either, but it has been sort of a weird year, and the average thing, I don't know what to make of either because, yeah, all the stat heads say, whatever, it's average. We don't really care about it anymore. It doesn't project. It doesn't tell us anything. But it tells you something. I mean, it tells you that, you know, he's not the same guy he has been in past years. And so, I don't know. It's been a really interesting, hard-to-read year, and if you're trying to decide whether to pay this guy $300 million, that's probably not a very comfortable kind of year to base that off of.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a body language thing. And look, he's a person just like we all are. And I, you know, he's thinking about the money, and that's got to be affecting him, right? And you know, you got this executive coming out and criticizing him. I wonder if there are others out there that feel the same way. But he's got the same emotions that we all have. And I just think it's human nature to kind of act like this. But the fans do get frustrated when they see stuff like that, and they've been frustrated for a few years. But when you're a guy who may be asking for $400 million or hitting 224, the fans are like, well, you know, maybe you should just go somewhere else and hit 224.
Especially when Juan Soto's lighting it up.
Yeah, and then you've got the stud Juan Soto coming up, putting up numbers. So it's probably a very difficult season right now for Bryce.
Yeah, it can't be a whole lot of fun. And I think the thing that's really confusing to me is you know, we're seeing him at Yankee Stadium, you know, some of these high-profile places that you think Bryce would sort of get up for. You know, we've sort of learned that he is a big stage guy, and he's not. It's not happening this year. Like, there's not even a bump in energy. So I don't know what to make of it, but it's noticeable, and, you know, I'm sure that the people making those big $300, $400 million decisions are noticing it too. You know, who knows? But it's definitely there, and I'll be interested to see sort of how he holds up through the second half and maybe if something changes. But it is important to remember that they are people, because I think of all the people on the Nats, he sort of gets thrown into robot celebrity territory more often than most. And he's just a 25-year-old guy dealing with crazy pressure and outside stuff and people pulling at him. And, you know, maybe we're seeing him start to sort of succumb to that after all these years.
All right, so let's move from the 25-year-old guy who's ancient compared to the 19-year-old guy, Juan Soto, who's just been unbelievable. His on-base percentage is close to .450. He hit two home runs in Yankee Stadium, and I think he joined a list that included Ken Griffey Jr. and Robin Yount, two Hall of Famers last night.
Yeah, you know, it's really funny. We heard people in the Nationals organization say, this is the best hitter we've ever seen come out of the Dominican, this is blah, 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 and you kind of say, oh, okay, guys, all right, yeah, sure. And then you start to see it in Hagerstown, and then I saw him in Potomac a few weeks ago, and you're like, oh my goodness, this is something else. Like, this is not something we've seen. And he's been the real deal, and I don't think you can expect it to continue. I think there's got to be, you know, some kind of adjustment made that's going to take time. But with him, you don't even rule it out, because the swing is so simple, and he's able to shorten up so well. And he just seems sort of immune to the pressure, if not really, you know, to love it. So he is as advertised. And I think when people heard that, when people hear, oh, you know, I don't think the Nats are going to make such a run at Bryce, which is what some people think, you're kind of like, wait, what? But they see internally that they have this kid, and they have Victor Robles, and they have Adam Eaton. And, you know, I don't think that there's, you know, they're not going to be negotiating from a position of desperation at all on Harper. And, you know, Soto is pretty much the big reason why.
What about Strassi? What are we expecting for this injury? Is it just something minor, precautionary, you know, only going to miss a couple starts? Or do you think this is more serious?
I think it's serious in the sense that, you know, it's going to be more than a few starts. But I don't think it's serious in sort of Steven Strasburg's estimation of serious, which is important. You know, it's not surgery.
Right.
It's hopefully not something that becomes this major labrum shoulder thing that, you know, makes him disappear like Coda Glover disappeared a little bit. But I think it's serious in that I don't know how many, you know, weeks of non-Steven Strasburg they can afford right now. But I think the plan all along, they sort of penciled him in for a DL stint a year. You know, I don't mean that with any disrespect towards him. I think he's a guy who sort of needs to be managed. And, you know, if this is a blessing in disguise in some way, I think it's safe to assume that it will be, just because it shuts him down, lets him sort of reset on the mechanics before he messes up the elbow and hopefully get some of the swelling out. But, you know, structurally fine is the key phrase that we've heard over and over on the shoulder. And so I think it's serious because they need him, but not serious in the sense that it's going to snowball.
Who is Trey Turner? I thought he was somebody different in 2016, and last year was a fine year. Nothing wrong with it.
Missed 40 or 60, maybe 60 games.
I really thought, you know, he hit .340. He was doing everything with power. And, you know, here we are, .258, whatever. It was just kind of a whatever. I mean, he's got all the talent in the world, it appears. But who is he really?
It's tough. You know, I think that's why it's hard to be all in on Soto, even though most of us are.
Right.
It's because adjustments happen. And I think the league really learned that, you know, Trey can turn around an inside fastball better than anybody, but you don't have to throw him inside fastballs. And he's had a lot of trouble sort of handling the pitch. It's something that's always been a work in progress. And when he's doing it well, he's an outstanding hitter. But, you know, I think he's going to be closer to all-star caliber than not. I mean, I think he's pretty much, you know, one of the top two shortstops that's healthy in the National League right now. So, you know, he's really good, and he's an impact player because of that speed. But he's probably, you know, 2016 was probably a little bit of an unfair bar to start with. But, I think he's much closer to annual all-star than he is to, you know, blah, good. Which at times you feel like he is, yeah.
Good. All right, we're talking to Chelsea James, of course, from the Washington Post, covers the Nats. Nobody knows the Nats better than Chelsea. What about Rendon? I kind of have the same questions about him, a little less so, because, I mean, we know what a talent he is and his hand speed and all of that. Everyone just raves about it, and he's put up some great years. But he seems to be kind of going through the motions this year. I don't know, just numbers-wise.
It's interesting because, you know, when we see them get shut out or something, it's always like, wow, they have no energy, right? And so when you're not hitting, it sort of looks like you're going through the motions, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a guy who, you've seen him grow up, and, you know, even I think maybe just last week he mentioned that, you know, he's trying to kind of combat the grind of the season by making sure everything he does is really intentional, whether it's before batting practice, whether it's in batting practice. And so I don't think he's going through the motions, but it is amazing how results with a team this experienced and sort of this calm and this used to winning, if the offense isn't there, they do look kind of boring and like they're maybe not trying because they're very even keeled, and he is the ultimate even keeled guy. But
right.
Yeah, I think he's been really good defensively. And I just don't think the offense has been quite what you'd expect from him. So I'll be interested to see if that changes, but I think he's a guy who's sort of aware that this is the time of year where you can maybe start sliding into that. And he's actually consciously trying to say, I'm not going to do that. And hopefully, obviously that yields, you know, better results fairly soon.
Gotcha. All right, Chelsea, it's only two games, but what do your eyes tell you when you see Murphy in the box?
I think it's Daniel Murphy. I really do. You know, I think it's when he's out of the box that is the problem right now. But, you know, I think that the sense we got from everyone who saw him was he looked bad on rehab, but it was more mental than physical. That the brain was getting in the way of him trusting the knee. And I think Dave Martinez made an interesting point that, you know, once he gets to the majors, there's no time to think. Like, that's adrenaline. And I think he's looked fairly normal with his swing. I think he's looked weird running, but it's not like he was a perfect runner before. So, you know, I think that'll calm down a little bit. I don't know that he's going to be Daniel Murphy of, you know, 2016, 2017, but I think he can be really useful and closer to that than maybe you saw it when you saw those rehab videos. So I think he's okay in the box. I think it'll just be interesting to see if he keeps improving out of the box and see how much that even matters in the end with him.
You know, I'm just looking real quick. I'm sorry, Jason. I'm just looking real quick at Bryce's batting average with balls in play. Mm. God, it's remarkably low. It's a 213.
Yeah. He's a different guy.
I mean, is that just because, you know, the launch angle and all that's all screwed up, or is he really getting unlucky here?
I think it's a little bit of both, and we've seen some people pull together the numbers on the shifts, and he's not doing as well against those this year. So I think that's real. Like, that's a real thing he's having trouble with. How do you fix that? I don't know, because you want Bryce to be pulling the ball, you know, for power. You don't want him bunting up the third baseline, so it's tough. But I think that, yeah, that number is really real. A lot of it's shifts, and there is some luck involved. So I don't expect the batting average to be 220, but it probably isn't going to be, you know, 280, 300 either.
Right.
I know we sound very negative this morning, Chelsea. I mean, they did win the game last night.
Well, and they're still only a game back.
And one of the reasons they won the game is because Justin Miller was lights out again. He had four strikeouts in inning two thirds. He's 4-0. He got his fourth win last night. He's got 21 strikeouts in less than 11 innings. And he's been huge for them. I'm not sure where they picked him up, where Rizzo found him. I know he used to play for Colorado, but I don't know who he was with last year. Can you tell me more about Justin Miller?
Yeah, he was good with the Rockies. And, you know, if you're good with the Rockies, you can pitch anywhere. And then he kind of fell off. And actually, he and Brandon Kinsler share an agent. And I believe, you know, depending who you talk to, the story is kind of that Kinsler said, hey, man, you're getting fat. Like, figure it out. So he kind of pulled him along to training this offseason and, you know, help him, you know, decide that he needed to be back in shape and, you know, got a minor league deal with the Nats, you know, so minor that he wasn't even invited to big league spring training. You know, it was like, hey, let's take a chance on this guy. And, you know, he got back in shape and he was, you know, throwing 96. And so he, you know, he's just kind of one of those like lightning in a bottle relievers that they are seemingly able to find every year. But I think the Kinsler thing really is sort of the inspiration there and the connection that helped them find him.
Mm.
Chelsea, Adam Eaton, a nice shot in the arm for the offense since his return. 5 for 12, he scored 3 runs. What's the plan for him going forward as far as keeping him fresh and healthy since he missed so much time?
I think for a while that they'll sit him against select lefties and let Michael A. play center, but that's a guy you need at the top of your lineup. You know, I think as soon as he proves that he's
and not just say he's able to go every day, which he was earlier this season, he'll be in there every day because he's such a pest and such a, like you said, a shot in the arm. But I think for now he'll probably sit against a lefty or two a week and give Michael A shot out in center.
Mm-hmm. All right,
thank
Chelsea.
Thank you, Chelsea.
Thank you.
Have fun
Appreciate
in Toronto.
The time.
Thanks.
These U.S. Open scores are an absolute poop show.
Are they going through the roof because of the wind?
Spieth hit a perfect drive.
Yeah.
It was like a nice cut. Left side of the fairway. The wind blew it 30 yards right.
Oh.
Into the high grass. These scores were a joke. One guy's 10 over through seven holes.
I kind of like it when it's that way. Oh, it's kind of nice to see the guys humbled.
They're getting punished.
I like to see the guys get punked once a year.
Let's see. Spieth's four over already. He's only played about five holes. Rory, I think, is four over.
Oh, Tiger could shoot a big number.
I'm a little bit bitter. Garrett Rank. Did you hear the story about Garrett Rank, Cakes? Garrett
I
Rank
have not.
He's an NHL ref.
Okay.
And he qualified for the Open as an amateur. He actually got pummeled by Ovechkin earlier in the year by a slap shot.
Oh.
Hit him right in the face. Right.
Oh.
He's six over. I mean, the scores are just crazy.
Maybe we should look at some of these prop bets. I saw one that jumped out at me regarding Tiger Woods. And yeah. Open line Thursday, if you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. And it had to do with, will he have on any hole, over under on strokes, I believe, highest score on any hole at 7.5. So will he shoot
an
8
triple
on a par 5?
Well,
an 8 on a par 5 or a par 4. I don't know. Tiger's the greatest grinder in the history.
Is there, are there a couple water shots? You know?
It's possible, but he's never going to pull a Sergio. He's never going to pull out, nine balls.
What'd you say it was?
7.5. Tiger Woods' highest score in any hole, 7.5 is minus 110.
I'd probably go under that.
Over is minus 110.
I think it's unlikely he would put an 8 on his card.
That's unlikely, but I would probably go over a 6.5.
Maybe 11-7.
There's only one water hole.
Yeah, there's not a lot of water.
It would be OB.
You would have to get OB or unplayable.
Will Tiger Woods shoot under par in round one? Yes is plus 120. No is
minus
150.
No. It's a definite no. He never shoots great in the first round of a major. And the way the conditions are today, can we get that in? Let's get that in. I'll put it in for $100.
How about bogeys? Here's how many bogeys.
See if we can get that in.
How many bogeys or worse will Tiger Woods record in round one at the 2018 U.S. Open? Over 4.5 is minus 110. Under 4.5 is
I would go over.
Minus 120.
Right, I would go over.
I want to give you $100.
He's going to have more than 4.5 bogeys.
I would go. Based on these scores and the wind, yes.
Jason, I want $100. Can you get it in for me?
Which one
I
do you want?
I want $100 on Tiger over par today.
I got to put it in with my book, Charlie
Will you
Books.
See if he'll take it?
Yeah. Here, hand me that list.
What I want, because I only like sure things, and that is a sure thing.
All right, is it minus 150?
No, it said minus 120. I think you said.
No. If he's will he shoot under par in round one? No, is minus 150.
Oh, so it's
still if you believe it's.
That's
right.
I'm still going to bet 100.
So you're going
to
bet? Let's just bet
to win like 67.
Why don't you bet 150 to win 100?
What if he pulls one out?
Hey, Jason, will you hook me?
I just want to get in for a hunch.
I got to make sure my guy.
I just want in for a hunch. I just want in for a hunch. I just pull a crisp hunch out.
I got to text Charlie Books.
I want in for a hunch. So, Jason, give me 67 tomorrow.
Yes,
so 250. 250 to win 167.
Because you're going to go in for 152.
Yeah.
So you're going to go in for 100.
Tiger
going in for
never plays well the first round.
I have 150, and then Eric's going to do 100.
But he's not going to blow up. I'm telling you this. He's the greatest grind. He never gives up on a round. You know, he might coast a little bit, but he never gives up on a round.
Didn't he WD out of a couple tournaments?
Well that's different.
Okay. That's a different animal.
That's different.
But
he just grinds the entire round. Now, you're right. There are some times.
But there's only so much you can do about the weather.
Right, but he's not going to let it affect him as much as it will others. In other words,
These guys are all.
I'm going to say he'll be middle of the pack because he'll grind his way around that better than. Most of them.
Probably. I don't think he's going to shoot 80.
But
he could play great and shoot 71.
What time does he play?
And there were big fat winners on our bets. What?
What time does he play?
147?
Yeah, 150. Okay.
Hold on. If he shoots 70, I'm a winner.
Yeah.
It's under par.
Yeah, if he shoots even par, you're a winner.
He's not going to shoot 69 in those conditions today. You know what?
I don't know if anybody's going to shoot 69.
I should put my whole roll.
Hey, what's your poker fun?
It's like about 1,500.
Hey.
I should put my whole roll.
I'm texting Charlie Brooks right
15
now.
1500 to 1000.
Come on, where are you?
Bam, right there.
Charlie's not going to take that.
He takes a lot. I just got to tell him what site I got it from. What site is this? This is Big Lead. That's not a book site.
No. It's on like BetDSI.
BetDSI.
He's not going to shoot under par in those conditions in the afternoon.
We need it to get really windy. It's windy now. We need it to get really windy.
Right. This is the first time I ever retired to shoot like 100.
Yeah. All right, let's go to the phones. 800-636-1067. Open line Thursday. Talk about whatever you want. We open the show talking about Juan Soto and the Nationals. Talking about the U.S. Open right now, whatever you want to talk about.
Chris, what's up, buddy?
Yeah, guys, I'm from across the bay in that area growing up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I've caddied that course as a kid.
Yeah, the wind.
80 is definitely in play.
Of course. Oh, you mean
it gets
for
windier.
Tiger? You mean for Tiger?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. You might be right.
But I think anybody, the time to score on that course and out in Long Island is in the morning. But if it's windy already, it's going to be really gusting in the afternoon because the water comes off the ocean and just blankets. It goes right across
that
course.
It's almost the biggest sure thing in history.
I mean, I'm telling you right now, if this is, and everyone remembers what 2004 was, they lost that course because it didn't rain any days, and the way it was set up, those greens can turn into lightning if the wind is blowing all week.
Well, that's why they're concerned about stopping play.
They lost seven in 2004 completely. They were watering it in between groups on the final day, and they only would water it if someone made a triple in the group in front. I mean, it's
water.
They could potentially lose that course again, which would be a disaster. But I definitely think 80 is in play for numerous players out there if they're not in the fairway and if they're not hitting greens.
No. That's
going to be really
bad. There are going to be guys that shoot 85 and higher.
I mean,
I'm telling
Scott Gregory's
well,
plus 11.
There are going to be guys that shoot 85 or higher. Well, I'm just telling you, Tiger will manage this better than 90% of them.
Spieth, put it this way. Spieth's already 5 over, and he's played 5 holes.
I'm not saying Tiger's going to shoot. Right. I think Tiger will shoot probably 77, but he's not going to shoot 86. It ain't happening.
I don't think he'll shoot 86, but I definitely could see an 81.
Yeah, maybe.
Right, we'll see.
We'll see.
Thank you, Chris.
Anyway,
thank you.
And then we collect.
Thank you, yeah.
And you scoop the pot.
Dude, this might be the biggest sure thing ever. There was a Britney Spears bet that we had years ago on Bovada, and they actually changed their whole terms and conditions.
No, it wasn't a Britney bet. It was a World Series of Poker bet. You guys bet no on the prop that a woman will reach the final table of the World Series.
No, we did a Britney bet. Wow. About will Britney be pregnant or something by the end of the year, and I think we all bet no, whatever the hell it was, or get married. It was something stupid, and it was just like, it was a no-brainer. It wasn't going to happen. All our listeners flooded the site.
That was like a Bodog bet.
And then what they did, it was Bodog, now Bovada. We had thousands of our listeners, thousands of dollars from our listeners crashing the site, and they then limited the bet to $25.
Post we crashed the net.
The internet. Which, by the way, should be illegal. But that's why it's not regulated. They can do whatever they want.
They're not trying to go out of business.
People should be running to Delaware Park or Monmouth and finding that prop.
Yes.
I just got a call, scam number. I know it.
Don't answer
from the three number prefix.
Call your book right now.
Yeah.
But, you know, these numbers will change based on the wind. So now that the books are seeing that the numbers are so high, I would assume that number would go up.
Right. Well, you just get it in now.
I'm trying. I'm waiting for him a response.
By the way, I've never seen anybody spring into action quicker than AWOD when he found out.
He's never been so motivated.
We're going to do a World Cup pool. All of a sudden, we have color printouts. Everybody's got all the information they ever need to pick their four World Cup teams.
You know what I was thinking?
Meanwhile, I got some reason I'm getting this email where I get job listings and job postings. And one of them was for a radio producer. So I forwarded it to him yesterday. He probably hasn't followed up on it. But he'll print this out.
Insight. Yeah. How many guys do that? You're encouraging
radio
him
insider
to leave.
Well, I just forwarded it to him. Yeah. Why not? It's a job opportunity.
I was thinking about this. You know, we are in sort of the doldrums. I mean, we're doing a World Cup draft.
talking about Tigers.
And by the way,
first round
for the World Cup.
Right. And Adam, I was just so struck by his gross body again yesterday. And I want to fat shame him.
Love to bully him.
I do. This is a real bully fat shaming move. How do you feel about this? Just because there's nothing going on. And he never comes in studio. But let's have a rule. Until he loses a certain amount of weight, every time he comes in studio, it has to be shirtless. Every time. Every time. And it doesn't mean he's not the focus of attention, but if he has to come in here and give me a water, it's yeah. with no shirt.
Welcome to bit season.
Yeah. If he has to come in here and give Jason a commercial read.
Personally?
It makes me laugh. I would get a quiet chuckle. Are you okay with it?
Sure, I don't care.
What do you think about that, Drabby? It's fat shame him. We're trying to make his life better until he hits a certain threshold.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How much do you weigh right now, pig?
I don't know. I've been eating pizza and chicken wings.
I mean, you look gross. At the parade, I really noticed your belly.
You noticed my belly at the parade with all the people?
Listen, I know who you're referring to, but I did notice yours. Like in your T-shirt, it looked
archy. Oh, the people. Yeah. Well,
right. By the way, I think cheap Valdez t-shirt. Posted a picture. Have you seen the back of Cakes?
On
my
neck?
A stripe of red. It's like a stripe. Can
from
you just
his hat?
Show him?
Yeah, I was rocking the red because I didn't put any sunblock on for
yeah,
the
you
parade.
And Adam. I didn't either, but yeah, you burnt pretty good.
Yeah, I got burnt up pretty nice.
Oh, I got burnt too, but usually you have it on the neck. Somehow your neck must have been, it's a weird
you
wearing
a jersey. You weren't even wearing a jersey.
I was wearing a T-shirt.
Yeah. All right, there you go. That's a good bit to me.
He's so red.
That's a good bit.
All right, I got to make my next picks.
Yeah.
All right, I got back-to-back
picks. I took Poland and Belgium. Are those good picks?
I kind of did bully him because he was desperate for me to be in the pool, and I said, I'll do the pool as long as I don't have to pay.
So and now he's paying your entry fee. The yeah. brokest guy on
right.
the show.
Yeah, he has no money.
But that's his money management.
How much is in your checking
that's
account right now?
That's his money management issue.
I believe I have $600.
You have $600.
Yeah, so I got to slow it down for the end of the month so I can pay rent.
The available balance is $0.46.
That was Kevin McCarthy's old.
All right, so my second round pick is Costa Rica.
That's a pretty good pick. I think that they could advance out of the group there.
And I will go with...
They're going to beat Brazil.
No, Brazil's going to finish first in that group.
But... Oh, two advance out.
Right? Yeah, two okay. advance out of the group stage.
All right, I got you.
I wish I knew that before I made my selection.
JP, did you hear any news about Spain the last few days in the World Cup?
Something about their coach.
Coach got about it. He got fired.
They fired their coach yesterday, and okay. you took them number one overall.
Good.
They won the World Cup last time. You're no, telling they me they're not a good team?
They were eliminated in the,
Step
in the first round.
Step into my office. Right, well, get you f***ing fired.
Right. Well, now we're officially down to the nubs.
Yes.
We're officially down to the nubs now.
Right. Hey, not my money. So
you're
going
to have to wait. You guys are going to have to wait.
Let's go to Andrew. Andrew, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junkies.
Hey, Junkies. I just wanted to reiterate my strong enthusiasm for the Congressional Baseball Game. It's a great event for charity. Also, I wanted to throw out a quick note. It's Steve Scalise, not Steve Scalise.
Okay.
Hate to get technical on you guys. No,
sorry.
No. He's a great guy. He really is. He's, you know, I don't care where your politics are, but he's a really outstanding human being, and we're very lucky and you know, yeah, very blessed that he's been able to pull through here.
Right.
So, but, you know, you can still get tickets to the game, and I encourage anybody who doesn't have plans that I can come out. It's a great event for charity.
So what is Steve?
What could be the next Speaker of the House?
What is he going to do? Is he like the manager of the team? Like, what is he doing?
Well, he was playing last year.
Right,
this year, obviously, he won't be able to get out on the field. So more managerial role this year. I think it'll just be we'll probably have a good tribute to him down
right.
there.
Right.
Who is the best congressional athlete?
Oh, Cedric Richmond. He's a former professional. He was drafted. He's from Louisiana. He's one of Steve Scalise's best friends. He's a Democrat. And Cedric Richmond, he goes out there. He strikes out all the Republicans consistently.
How is I saw him play tennis, and he actually was pretty solid. Now he's older. How is Jeff Flake?
You know, I really wish I had better things to say about his athletic prowess.
Gotcha.
Why, you saw him play tennis?
I saw him play tennis at the Castles. Remember I did that thing?
How was he?
I thought he was solid, but, I mean, you only played like a game. Yeah. You know what I mean? And you played against people kind of your... ilk.
Right. All right, Andrew, thank you, buddy. Appreciate it.
Thanks for taking my call, guys.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
I'm trying to know who Jeff Flake is.
So it's Steve Scalise, not Scalise. Sorry. Yes. My bad.
All right. Everyone draft quick, because I want to draft my last
Pete's up. Pete on sports.
Oh, Pedro, Pete? Come Pete? Here, give us to him.
Looks like he has Germany and Iceland already.
I almost drafted that.
I think I might have made the biggest blunder, because I went star power, so I passed like two high-ranking teams just so I could get Ronaldo.
I don't blame you.
Yeah. I mean, but they say Uruguay might be silly, but I don't get size.
They
I don't,
say that.
I can't name one player.
Luis Suarez. Ah, oh, soccer
I've heard of that,
he's
dude.
The head butter.
Look at soccer cakes
I heard
checking
that, dude.
In.
I didn't know he played for them.
Well, aren't you in a fantasy league?
I was, yes. I don't know where my team finished because Soccer Cakes checked out about halfway through the season. It's the longest season ever.
Who does Nomar Garciaparra play for?
Boston.
No. Isn't there Nomar out there? Nomar.
Neymar.
Neymar.
Who's he play for?
Brazil.
Oh, there you go.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.